Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, everybody.
And Heather. Hey, Heather.
Hello.
So everybody have a good weekend?
Yeah.
We are creeping and crawling through May already, you guys. Halfway through.
Yay.
Heather, what is our countdown to knockout?
I don't know. Hold on.
You put her on the spot.
I did. I put her on the spot. What's our
40 days, 13 hours, 58 minutes, and 37 seconds.
Okay. So we are creeping up on Knockout in Louisville, where all of the Buzzing About Romance hosts will be together. Even if you do not have a ticket, but you live in the area, we will host drinks with us, and just make sure you check out our social media, and we'll send a newsletter out the week before. It'll probably be Friday night at the Galt, is where I'm thinking will be the easiest place for people to find us. Did anybody watch Bridgerton? We did brunch this morning, and I watched episode one live with everybody that was over in Discord. Heather, you watched all four episodes?
We binged it on Friday night.
Okay. Now, have you read the books?
No.
Okay.
I tried to do the audio. I might listen to this one. I know that
I wouldn't.
Honestly,
if you are loving the TV series, don't read the books.
Okay.
Because the books, she has really separated from the books. Like Mike and I were talking earlier, if this was somebody had done this with like the canon of a beloved sci-fi book, the sci-fi book fans would be burning the TV at the stake. Like they would be losing their shit because they have gone so far off the books in the TV series. Oh. They are not the same.
Okay.
So if you're loving it, I would say keep loving it, but it's not, it's nothing like the books.
I just really liked Penelope's sort of decision to separate, like kind of go rogue from her mom's colors and everything.
Yeah.
So,
have you watched Amanda?
No, I haven't watched any of it, and I haven't read any of the books, so
it's just not your gig.
No. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't. I just, my husband mostly controls the TV at the house. Like I read and he watches TV, so it's, if I watch it, it has to be when he's not here. So
yeah, I mean, episode one, the costuming was beautiful. I loved her big reveal of her dress. But yeah, it is very different from the books. Like it wasn't until we did the rewatch a couple weeks ago that I realized there's a Featherington sister missing. Technically, in the books, there's four Featherington sisters. And the timeline is different, too. Like, by the time we get to Colin's book in book four, Francesca has already been married and moved off to Scotland with her husband's family and is a widow. And Hyacinth is the one making her debut in the book. And her best friend is the youngest Featherington sister. And yeah, there's just a lot of pieces. And I think one of the things that I'm really distraught about is one of the things I loved about Bridgerton was the camaraderie among the women, like the girl gang, the friendships, the sisters, the mothers and daughters, the, that I have your back. I think you're beautiful no matter what. I will lie for you. I will protect you. And the way that they have written this show, there's no longer that friendship, that camaraderie. You know, Eloise and Penelope, who are this pinnacle friendship throughout the series, they're not even speaking in episode one.
Yeah, it episode one, it changed. I mean, like,
yeah.
I think a lot transpires in the first four episodes. I liked it. I did not like season two.
Me either.
At all. My husband really liked it. He said that he really liked Anthony's, the way he changed, sort of like he
Yeah.
was set on just marrying, not for love, and then he did marry for love.
They bang a lot in that first episode, Anthony and Kate in season three. There's a lot of sex by
That's why
them.
Justin likes it, really, right?
No, I mean, he
Kidding.
likes Penelope and like, you know.
For a gay man, because the actor that plays Anthony is gay. For a gay man, he's on his knees a lot for Kate. It's a little weird. That's a little weird.
We also start watching Ashley Madison, so
Oh, I saw that. I have not watched that yet. It looks good though.
that's interesting
And who
in
doesn't
a
love a
weird
little
way.
spice? Okay, so term of the week for this week. We have been breaking down for the last two previous episodes the whole umbrella of hate to love, enemies to lovers, rivals to lovers. And this week we are going with adversaries to lovers. And I would say this umbrella is not a go-to trope for me. I don't hate it. It's just not one that I pick up right away. And it has to be done in a way that it works, right? At least for me.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one of those ones for me also that when it's done well, though, I really like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a go-to, but it can be a really good one for me.
Heather.
Be written well, I think.
Yeah. Although you're not really a big fan of enemies to lovers at all.
No, I don't know. I think I have a lot of negativity in my professional life. I don't really need it in my,
Yeah.
downtime.
No, I get that. I get that. So, enemies to lovers and rivals to lovers tropes and the adversaries to lover tropes all involve a transition in a relationship dynamic from negative or competitive to a romantic relationship. So, adversaries to lovers, this trope is similar to enemies to lovers, but may involve a broader range of adversarial relationships beyond outright hostility. So, basically, this is going to feel like enemies to lovers, but it's going to lack the history. And it's not competitive. Rivals to lovers is going to be more competitive. Adversaries is going to be hostility, but without the history. Enemies to lovers is going to be the history that makes them hate each other. Characters might be on opposite sides of conflict, have clashing ideologies, or simply be at odds due to circumstances rather than personal animosity. As their relationship evolves, they overcome their differences and develop romantic feelings for each other. The key difference between enemies to lovers and adversaries to lovers lies in the intensity and the nature of the internal conflict. Enemies implies a more hostile relationship, while adversaries can encompass a wider range of opposition, including situations where the characters are not necessarily enemies but still find themselves within a conflict. Rivals to lovers, on the other hand, focuses specifically on characters engaged in competition before transitioning to romance. So, rivals to lovers, think of competing for a job or competing for an award. So, that's what you're going to see in rivals to lovers. Enemies to lovers is going to have that history, that deep-seated hostility. And then, adversaries to lovers. It's going to be more like along the lines of the ideologies, the broader encompassing. I don't like how that person does it. Adversaries could even just be like neighboring farms competing against each other, but not necessarily a competition, but like, warring over how they graze their land or something like that. So.
I think it happens a lot in the workplace, thinking about like they're going for the same, position or whatever.
Okay, so now on to our episode, which Heather, did you get the doc?
I did not.
Okay. I will get this to you. Okay,
Thank you.
so on this episode of Buzzing About Romance, we're tackling a topic that is close to every book lover's heart, tracking our reads. Whether you use Goodreads, Storygraph, your personal blog, or Heather's Google form, which we will get into, staying organized and reflecting about what we read enhances our literary journey. 100% it does, because how many times in an episode do we say, I'm really pissed at past person for not shelving and troping the books?
I just said it earlier.
that we needed. And it happens all too often. So in this episode, we're going to discuss the kind of information we typically record when tracking our reads, from ratings and reviews to personal notes and reading dates. We'll share what we love about each tracking method and unique feature they offer. Plus, we'll talk about what improvements we'd love to see to make our reading experience more enjoyable. So let's start off with the beginning, Goodreads. Goodreads is the industry standard. Yes. It's been around the longest. It is, so anyone that is doing things like, anyone that's doing anything like ARC reading, reviewing for authors, you're going to have an accessible Goodreads, right?
Yes.
It is kind of required. That is where authors are looking to in order to see your feelings. You know, do you actively review books or are you new? And it's one of those things, too, where you can, it's a standard go-to, right? As a reader, if I Google cowboy romances, one of the first links that I'm going to find is going to be a Goodreads listicle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like I said, Goodreads is kind of the industry standard for reviews. Things to note, Goodreads is owned by Amazon. One of the good things about Goodreads is it's directly connected to your Kindle account.
Yes. Yes.
So if I read a book, I can mark it as read without having to go into the Goodreads app, because the Goodreads app is freaking slow.
Yes.
Goodreads website is slow.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, but then when you're done reading and you mark it as read, if your Kindle's attached to your Goodreads, it'll mark it as read and get the dates right. So there is an ease to Goodreads.
I mean, I think that's its most winning quality, is it's the fact that you can just, you know, it tracks it for you in that sense.
So Goodreads was founded in December of 2006 by Otis Chandler and Elizabeth Curry Chandler. And in March of 2013, it was acquired by Amazon. So oftentimes people act like Goodreads is just a recent acquirement of Amazon. It is not. They acquired it back in 2013.
No, I don't think I realized it was that long ago.
Yeah. Other good things about Goodreads, it has a large user base. Goodreads boasts a largest user community with over 90 million members worldwide as of 2021. This extensive user base contributes to a vast collection of book reviews, ratings, and recommendations. And as newer apps and websites start to pop up, because I used BingeBook for a minute, it doesn't have the other users in there. You feel like you're the lone wolf and constantly having to manually add books in. The fact that Goodreads is pulling direct from Amazon, everybody sells books on Amazon, publishers, indies, you know,
it's easier.
It's easier.
It is.
Goodreads has the most comprehensive database of books with millions of titles across various genres and languages. Users can add new books, edit existing entries, and contribute to the accuracy and completeness of the database. It does offer community features like book clubs and interactives. One of the other great things about Goodreads is the shelves and tags. We can sort pretty easily, and you can search, you know, and see what other people have shelved. Like, I recently read a book and I wasn't quite sure. Amanda and I read The Villa, and I wasn't quite sure where else other people had shelved it for tropes. And so within the listing, you can go and see where other people might have shelved that book.
Yeah, I don't use that feature as much as I should.
It's very helpful.
I do go into your books, so if you read it and I look and see what you shelve, but I'll go directly onto your profile. Perfect. Yours and Leah's.
Because we have gotten pretty good. And I do say, and I did there's an article on our website. One of the things I really liked about, I was able to create designated shelves on Goodreads. So like I do have a DNF shelf that doesn't mark it as read. It marks it as a DNF. It sits there. That was very helpful to me. So that is the basics of Goodreads. Bad things about Goodreads. Authors have access to Goodreads, and we have seen authors use Goodreads to bully readers and reviewers.
Mm-hmm.
There's often some reviews are just people hating on an author, and there aren't necessarily reviews of the work.
It's like when you get like 21-star reviews for a book that's not out yet.
Yeah.
That annoys me when the book isn't even out and people are one-starring it just because they don't like the author.
Yeah.
Like, all right, Karen, move on.
Right. So there seems to be less oversight and guidelines to Goodreads. It is a little, even though it's the most established of all of the book tracking websites or apps, it tends to be the Wild West.
It does. And I think aren't the librarians all volunteer librarians over there as well?
I believe so. Yes, there might be some paid librarians from the original grouping. But I often know that many authors, you know, are like, hey, who's an Amazon librarian?
Yeah.
So next up is Storygraph, which I am not as versed in because I tried to use it and I hate it, if I'm going to be really honest, because like it asks me all these stupid fucking questions.
But you don't have to like answer any of it. So I don't answer any of them. I scroll to the bottom of the form and I put in my star rating and that's it. And I save it.
Does it have... So this is something. Does it have a website or is it in-app only?
No, it has a website. I do most of my stuff on the website, actually. Okay. Where I tend to use my app more for Goodreads, I will actually log in to the website. And that's because it doesn't, like, sync. You know, obviously, you're not syncing like you are with Goodreads. Yeah. So I go in, like, periodically and add my books to Storygraph. And I think a big part of... I didn't like it a lot at first because when you import your Goodreads into there the first time, you know, they have a whole list now about how to tell you how to do it where it's less of a pain and where it transitions easier. But one of the problems is when you import from Goodreads, when you put your book on there and it'll put it down like as maybe like a Kindle format or whatever. But like I'm doing a lot of like rereads and audio and you can't do like a separate edition. So if I change it to like an audio, like it changes my original read to an audio on Goodreads.
Okay.
So the thing I like about Storygraph is I can do multiple editions. So like if I read like a Nora Roberts book like last year in an ebook and I'm rereading it in audio, like it shows me the two different versions.
Yeah.
Like in Goodreads, it changes them both.
Okay. Storygraph. So pieces to know about Storygraph. Storygraph is owned by Nadia. I'm not going to say her last name correctly, who co-founded the company in 2019. The platform is known for its data-driven approach to book recommendations and tracking. It offers a user-friendly alternative to Goodreads. I disagree. I think it's more complicated because oftentimes, especially if we're reading newer indie authors, they aren't in Storygraph. So I have to go in and manually enter them. And I don't have that kind of time.
They're better now than they were, but it's still, you know, there's still a lot of things missing, especially if you're doing indie authors from a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they let you manually add. I don't mind it so much, but that's also because like some of the stuff is pulled in, like people will add it and the page numbers are wrong and it annoys me. So I'll go in and add another edition with the right number of pages. So that's just because I'm psycho.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The platform 8 aims to provide a more personalized and data-driven experience for readers. Storygraph allows users to track their reading habits, set goals, and receive personalized book recommendations based on the detailed preferences. The platform uses... Okay. This is where it loses me. The platform uses mood, pacing, and other nuanced filters to suggest books, making recommendations more tailored to individual tastes. Listen, we have all heard me complain about the whole, I just vibe with the book, so it's 5 stars. What the fuck does that even mean? What does vibing with a book mean? Was the story good? Were there plot holes? Did you just like, I mean...
It just made me happy, Becky. It just made me happy.
I know.
I don't want your fucking happiness. It doesn't have to be that hard. I need to know what about it made you happy.
So I think there are people, maybe like Amanda and I, that we read for fun. And you might read for fun too. But you also do it for like parts of your other, you know what I mean?
Right. It's my job and I am going to be a little more critical of books.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. Okay. But honestly, when I go looking for a book recommendation, I don't understand the, I just really vibed with this book. Can you tell me more specifically what it was that you vibed with or what is the vibe you got? What does the term vibe fucking mean? Was it spicy and you just vibe with the sexy parts? Did you really?
We're just giving you a hard time.
Was the main character, was she just that phenomenal that you felt like a kinship to them? Like, I need more than just in a review. I really vibed with this book.
I think people run out of things to say in a review.
I don't care if every book review I read says, oh my God, this book was amazing. It was the best book I read. That's fine. That is fine because then I know I can go and look at all the books you think are amazing and the best book you read. And I can say, oh, hey, they really think that this group of authors is some of the best books they've ever read. I don't have that same experience. So I'm going to bump over. But when you go looking at reviews, do you look at the 5 stars that say I vibed with this book or do you look at the 3, 2, and 1 stars? Which ones do you look for? Word.
Oh, I can't stop laughing. I'm sorry.
I don't actually read reviews.
Well, I don't often read reviews either. I just write the hell out of them, however.
You know, I read reviews more when it's a blurb that I don't necessarily think I'm going to like.
I don't read blurbs.
Because a lot of times I'm wrong. You don't read blurbs. So I will dip into a review if it's maybe like a blurb that I'm not sure about.
Or if I'm like choosing between a couple books, I might be like, I'm going to read a couple of reviews, see what people think.
Yeah.
Well, but which review do you look to see what people think? Which ones?
Mm-hmm. A variety?
I'll look at a few like different ones.
You look at the 5-star and say, oh, this person just really vibed with this book.
I have not seen somebody say that they just vibed with a book.
Me either.
I have not.
I haven't either.
I've seen people on Instagram say it, but I haven't looked at an actual like review.
Watch
on Amazon
out, people. Screenshots are coming your way.
Okay. Send them to me. It's probably not a book that I'm gonna read.
One of the standout features, and this is why Amanda uses this StoryGraph.
It is.
Is the in-depth reading analytics. Users can see statistics on their reading habits, such as the genres they read most, the average length of book, and the diversity of authors they explore. And it gives her a pretty chart and a graph, and it makes her heart happy.
It makes me very happy, and that is why I use it. So,
I will say one of the great things about StoryGraph is it does allow the community to add content warnings for the book and trigger warnings, which I do highly appreciate. I will say that StoryGraph is much more receptive to content and trigger warnings than Goodreads is.
Mm. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's good and bad about both.
Yeah, like, sure. I mean, nothing's perfect. I just struggle with StoryGraph because I see a lot of the reviews that say, I just really vibed with this book.
And honestly, that's another thing too. So I am really in StoryGraph for the analytics. I do not often put my actual written review in StoryGraph. It is really just about the pretty graphs for me, honestly. And because I like the way it tells me, you know, it tells me like the number of books. And then also too, the other thing is like, they stopped letting you on Goodreads put like free content from authors on Goodreads, so you can't get like the little free novella or whatever. So like Amy Awards, the Santa's Pants book because it was free content that she gave you. It's not allowed to be on Goodreads anymore.
Oh.
So, but I can put it on StoryGraph.
Okay.
So, like, that's another feature for me. But yeah, I don't often actually like put my written reviews on there. It's really just about the graphics for me.
And so before we get into Heather's solution to not using StoryGraph, I do want to say, like, one of the things that we have started using is we have our reader cards that you can write your book title, that it's just very individual to you. If you're part of our top two Patreon tiers, we send out a 3 times a year a reading journal. So those are the reading list cards. We have reading journals that you can put your reviews in. And then I have a big planner that I put my review in, and that those are very helpful, especially come towards the end of the year. Yeah, come towards the end of the year when I am going down and just looking for where my 5-star reads were. The journal, the planner, or those reading cards are really amazing and helpful for that. If you're part of our Patreon, we'll send you reader cards as often as you want. The journal is for our top two tiers, and if you're part of our fancy drinks tier, you get a digital download. Anyway, so there are those. But Heather wanted pretty graphs.
You
She
did.
wanted pie charts.
I did.
So Heather made a Google form.
I feel like I need to defend myself here.
Tell
No, I
us.
love it. I just don't know how to, I couldn't use, I didn't figure out how to use it. So that's the only reason I'm not using that.
So I will say it will be linked. The Google form will be linked on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com, where you will be able to create your own copy of Heather's Google form for your book cataloging needs. So Heather, tell us about your Google form.
So, I am a special education teacher. That means I use data all the time. And I use Google Forms. And I wanted things in a spreadsheet, but I also wanted pretty little pie charts. And I was like, oh, Google Form. Google Form, you kind of have to think about the data you want, and then you move backwards and then build your form. So that's what I did. And I have tweaked it a little bit. So I start out with the title of the book, and then I give directions about how to write the title because, yeah. Same with the author's name, what month I read it. So then I want to kind of know like the numbers of books each month. Like, am I in a slump? What's going on? The type of read. So is it an ARC? Is it an audiobook? Is it in Kindle Unlimited, Kobo Plus? So then I like know if I'm getting my money's worth, kind of. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And then like I have a reread on there because I don't think Goodreads does a really great job of adding rereads
No,
on
it's
there.
terrible.
And then I also have a link, like if this is a new to me author, because that's something I'm trying to read more people. And then I go to the type of book, like is it mafia, is it hockey? I have a whole list of things and I add them when I come across them. Then I have the trope. And then I have the put out percentage. So then when I'm reading, I put like a little note, like pop, you know, like whatever. And then I created my own rating scale, but there's a graphic in there for that. And then my spicy scale, which also has a graphic for the spicy scale. But my ultimate favorite is the last one, and it's the hero hotness factor. So, like, does he have tattoos? Is he have a green flag? Does he have piercings? That seems to be the question I get all the time. Is he a dirty talker? Is he kinky? Is she a good girl? Like all those things. And then you put all that information in, and then like I can tell you right now that I've read 32 books in Kindle Unlimited. I have read 18 books in Kobo Plus. 42.7% of my reads are interconnected series. I have read 33.3% of my books are friends to lovers. What else would we like to know? Oh, most 44% of my books are 3 on the spicy scale.
How much is audio? You do mostly audio, or how much?
Let me see.
So if somebody copies this form from our website and downloads it, they can then tweak it and add their own things to it too. So you will go into that form and you'll make a copy into your own Google Drive, and you will then be able to add sections, do things.
Yeah, it will, the link I sent you, Becky, will force a copy for someone. And then let's say you get it and you're like, oh, I like this header, I want to use it for next year. I just went into Canva, and those are Google Classroom headers, and you can create your own pretty header.
Okay.
That's it. Like, this is so, oh, but, and then it feeds into a spreadsheet. And so then you can sort it like you would in a regular spreadsheet. It's so nerdy. My husband and my son absolutely made fun of me. And then they just said, I think that's kind of funny that you nerd out so nerdy like that. So
I think that what you created, though, is some of the stuff that we struggle with when rating and categorizing our books, because how often are we asked, hey, I need book recs with a hand necklace? I don't know. I know when I read it, I see it, but I don't necessarily have a Goodreads shelf, and my Goodreads shelves are out of control. So
I have over 300.
What?
I have over 300
I'm currently. Sure I have as many as that. You know, and there's things like, is there a third act breakup? Yes or no? You know, those kinds of things are pieces that we are often asked about when we're recommending books, or when people are looking for certain books that, you know, are harder to nuance in StoryGraph and Goodreads. So the solution of creating this form is really awesome, because it allows that to, for you to do that. And microtropes, you know, forehead kisses. I mean, how much did we struggle, Amanda, with nicknames?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that episode, the amount of times that I went into different books and, you know, looked for nicknames, or when we did kisses.
Yeah, the kisses was hard for me. Like, I have a thing with nicknames, so that one was kind of easier for me. But yeah, the forehead, the kisses, like, I was like, why did I not like write this down?
Right, like, go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, and you can add and take away things too, which makes it easy. I think the thing is that this isn't like public. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, so it's harder.
Yeah, it's not public. It is going to be for your own personal use. But at the end of the day, you can create your own graphs and your own, you know, it just depends on why are you tracking books. So obviously for me, tracking books is part of the podcast. It's part of the blog, because I do all those listicle articles and all that kind of stuff. So that's part of the reason that I need to be able to check on Goodreads or grab content and say, okay, you know, this is a really popular book. Here's what people are saying about it. Here's what I feel, so that we know what we're going into when we're doing an episode. Because sometimes we go into a book blind for like the Wednesday episodes and stuff. But then when we're planning these Sundays episodes, to have a form that I can go into and sort or search for the keyword of, you know, forehead kiss or whatever, we can see that.
So the other thing, it's a little bit more complex. So you could look up somebody on YouTube. I read on my iPad, and I just created my form as an icon on my iPad. So then I click it and then it opens. So that's a possibility for someone. So you don't have to like sit down at your computer. You just, or on your phone, you could do it.
Well, and I have seen the little sticky notes that people have. That's like a little review sheet that they put in the front of a book. That's a post-it, which I think those are really great. And it'd be great to have a stack of those sitting by you. I mean, I have a notebook that now sits on my side table, so that I can jot things down, especially if I'm like, you know, reading a book for Quick Shot or reading a book for Wednesday episodes. I can make notes, or I make notes on my phone, because I can't read on my iPad. I have to read on the Paperwhite screen.
Yeah, I'm the same, but I do. I usually do like a draft email, like in my on my phone, and then I go in there and I type. That's usually where I keep my notes when I'm reading.
My notes app is bonkers, and that's where I have like the that's where Pop is over there.
Oh, yeah.
Like I have every Pop since we started Pop in September of 2021, I think.
Oh, really?
I have every Pop because I've never deleted the notes out of my phone.
That's
Oh,
a lot.
yeah.
I just keep it in the book and then I go back and pull it up and
Yeah.
then.
No, I have like here, like a, just a little, just, like on my phone. See, like just there's the Pops for the books I've been reading. And that's just for May. I usually do 2 to 3 months at a time. And if I'm reading in bed at night, I'll look at Mike and I'll be like, hey, because he'll be scrolling TikTok or something. I'll be like, can you text me 12% or whatever? And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, thank you. So then I know in the morning.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So, Heather, I have the form that you emailed me.
Yeah.
So, like back, so I could not get past. Like, I don't know how to like create my own like version of it. Is it the one you sent me an automatic, like it
Probably
goes for
not.
my version? Okay.
I'll send you it.
Okay.
I
I was
mean,
like, I don't want to mess your stuff up.
I have two, so I have a beta version of my own because I know that I'm going to change things already for next year.
Okay, I think you
But
sent me the beta version.
mine's not 100% accurate because I'm making changes. So
Okay.
for all those like data nerds,
That's where I think I got lost. I was like, wait, I don't want to like
yeah,
mess this
and
up for
that's
you.
fine. Like I have 75 books on my Google form, and then my Goodreads says I'm reading 58. So that like it's off because like I read
Oh,
things on
yeah.
Kobo and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenny says file, make a copy.
It's not the one she sent me is a beta. That's why it's not working. I know I'm not that ridiculous.
So what is, are you finding any challenges by doing your spreadsheet or your Google form?
No, and I think the reason I'm not is, like I said, I use these in my day job like all the time.
Yeah.
So I am very, I don't know, I just know them.
Will you do a
It's easy for
different
me.
Google form for each year so you can keep it separate?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. So versus.
Like I collect data for kids and I do tr each trimester, they get a new data form
Okay.
so I can compare.
So each
I'm
good
so needy.
because that's one of the things. Like
I
Goodreads
love
keeps you
it.
for an entire your lifetime of Goodreads. Is Storygraph separated into a year, or does it keep it from day one that you joined?
It keeps it from day one. When you log in, like it will show you your current year. Like right now, when you log in, it shows me 2024, but I can go back and look
Okay.
at previous years. There's a tab just to sort it.
So Heather's form will be for the current year, but doesn't necessarily, but you can still go back and compare previous years to the current year.
I just wish like Goodreads was better about like audio. Like you could put that
Yeah.
on a shelf for sure,
Right.
you know.
Yeah, you
Yeah,
can
and you
create a
can change
shelf,
the
but you can't
version.
change the version.
You can change the version, but it changes it across the board. So if you do a
Oh.
reread, then it changes all your reads. But if you go, yeah, if you're in it, it will give you like where it shows you the cover, you scroll over and it's like the third slide and you can click on different versions. But there's a lot because they let users add them. So you get like maybe like a CD or a German version or an Italian version. I think there was like 67 of the villa,
Well, and I'll say
I
that's one of
think.
the things that's kind of annoying with Goodreads. Also, authors are changing covers pretty frequently right now.
Yes.
And covers are not updating on Goodreads. Even though they're pulling the book listings from Amazon, covers are delayed being updated.
Yeah. And I saw an author was saying that, they were having to email the Goodreads librarians to change them.
For them.
So I'm sure they're bogged down with those requests right now.
So yeah, that's a piece that's kind of annoying, especially with as often as authors are changing or creating special editions and stuff like that. It gets to be a little much. I
A
will
lot.
say I did download, we did an episode a couple years ago, or yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, about different ways to keep track of your personal library. I have used Book Buddy, which I did like. And then TBR Bookshelf, although there is so much stuff behind a paywall, which I didn't love. Book Buddy was a one-time fee of $5, and it's great. You can scan UPS codes, UBS, whatever. The codes, the barcodes, you can scan those in Book Buddy and put your book in. But there is a lot of personal, like, a lot of books aren't on there. You can upload your Goodreads library into both those apps. The TBR Bookshelf, there is a lot behind the paywall, and I'm not sure $4.99 is necessary. For my personal library, Michael made me a book database that I scan my books into for my paperbacks, and that's amazing because then I can note if it's signed and stuff like that. So that's really great for me. But as far as app goes, keeping track of your paperbacks, I haven't found a perfect one that the general public has access to.
I have no log of my paperbacks or physical copies anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
I just open cabinets to see what I've got hidden in places. Because I have no more shelves.
Yeah. Just don't make a spreadsheet with your totals of how much you're spending and assigning.
Oh, no.
I quickly deleted that. Jenny or Amanda texted me and she's like, hey, so I was just perusing Hello Lovely or something. And she's like, I ordered you 2 books. And I was like, good, thank you.
It was something you had asked me to get for you, and I couldn't get more than one at the signing. So I was like, I'm just going to buy it in case she didn't get it. So
that worked out. So awesome. I was like, thanks for having my back, Amanda. Well,
that's so funny. You know, Michael doesn't care books coming in and out. And I always laugh when people are like, oh, I just told my husband I want a giveaway, or I swear he thinks Amanda and I have some kind of, like, you know, drug trade or something happening, because there are packages coming back and forth between the two of us. And, like, I have a stack of stuff that's going to Amanda when we go to Knockout in a couple weeks. Yeah. And
I have a bin
for
everyone there.
So, I mean, don't look at our mailing history.
No. Yeah, my husband's like, whatever. He's like, you got another package. I was like, okay, I'll get it in a minute.
My fated mates from the Readers Take Denver for Aveline. Oh, my God.
Oh, Victoria Aveline.
And it's beautiful. So pretty.
Awesome.
I just bought a new bookshelf with 5 shelves full. Already.
Michael just built me a new bookshelf, and I was able to, like, move a bunch of stuff on it. It has empty space. And I feel like that was permission to buy 200 new books, because that's about how many books I can fit on it.
I mean, I'm bringing you some, so.
Right? I mean, isn't that permission to buy 200 books?
I'm, like, eyeing all the Titans book back there, and I'm like, I am missing a good chunk of those books. Oh, I need to order them.
All my Titans, yeah. Well, and Carrie Elks just sent me a message, and she's like, what don't you have? And I was like, well, I have all of Winterville. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, oh, Carrie, please send me more books.
Yeah, Molly McLean's like, I said, hey, do you have those books I didn't buy in Iowa? I feel like I need those. And she's like, I still have them. Ones. I'm like, God, what is wrong with me? I don't need 2 of every book.
But we do.
But technically it's 3 because I have the ebook and then I have these.
I think you need them all. Yeah. I think you need them all. Okay, so that's where we're at for keeping track of our reads. If you have questions about Heather's form, you can message her, email us, whatever. Check out our on-the-shelf show notes to get your copy. But now it's that time, you guys. It's that time.
Yep.
For Book of the Week. It is Book of the Week time. So here we go. Amanda, what's your Book of the Week?
My Book of the Week is Measure of a Man by Molly McLean. It is book 3 in the Coal Creek series. This is Jinx's book. So he's the youngest Ender's brother. It's him and Rachel. She is a single mom. She's a little bit older than he is. She doesn't really understand that he's trying to get in there to start with, which was kind of fun. She's still technically married, although her husband has left her and he's dating someone else, and he's just kind of like an idiot. But he works actually for the Enders, so he works for Jesse. And then Jinx has his own, like, he's the lawn crew, so it's like blue collar hero, small town. And he is, oh, he's so like swoony. He shows her what a man is supposed to be. And I will go ahead and put it out there. He is my favorite Enders brother.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Even over Jesse, who pines like a
Yeah.
tree and it's his job?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh,
Guess what's
I didn't
getting
read
moved
it.
up on my TBR? Heather, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is The Study by Kelly Fox. And I have a major book hangover. I tried to start three books today and I couldn't. This is the final book in the Lost Boys series, and it is an age gap, a widow, and it is so good and so emotional, and I will take no criticism of this
Okay.
book. But Jenny binged the series, and so Jenny and I are going to do a quick chat. So if you want to know all of our thoughts, you're going to
Okay.
have to
Had
stick
to turn
around.
on to the quick shots. So my book of the week is Unending Love by Stacy Lynn. This is her new series, The Kelly Family. This is a secret baby, which it's been a minute since I read a secret baby, you guys, and I love a secret baby. It's a one-night stand. He was living in Virginia at the time, and she was in Virginia Beach for a bachelorette party for her sister, and they had a one-night stand, and the book starts 4 years later, and she's a single mom of a 3.5-year-old and living in a Denver suburb. And the great piece about all of this is, so the hero is an identical twin. And for the last
Oh.
4 years, she has been looking for the baby daddy. Like, she's been actively looking. All she had was his first name. He didn't leave a number, nothing. So she's been actively looking for him. Her friend is at a Denver football game, the professional football game, and she calls, her friend calls her, calls the heroine, and says, "Hey, this guy is your baby daddy. He's the quarterback of the Denver football team." And so she approaches him after a practice with a letter and pictures, and he comes out and he's like, "I don't fucking know you. No, I'm not." Anyway, then it unfolds. It's his twin brother. So she thinks that he gave her, like, lied to her and gave her a wrong name, that his name is really Cameron and not Caleb. It's a
Oh,
whole thing, but
wow.
the setup is so good. This book is available with Kobo Plus. There is not audio yet, but it was really good. I believe the first two books are out in the series. The third book comes out later, earlier this fall, later this summer. And there is a novella that's the sister story, but it's a total of five brothers.
Oh.
Some of them are small town, and obviously there's a pr the hero in this book, Unending Love, is a professional hockey player, and his brother's a quarterback. So anyway, I really liked it.
This
I
one sounds really
binged
good.
it. It was really good. So there's that. Those are our books of the week. So good.
I just downloaded
Did you? It was really good. Like, I flew through it. I could not stop. Okay, so Patreon update. Our May swag packs have hit all the mailboxes, everyone except Merritt's. Sorry, Merritt, yours is a little late because I gotta get stamps. May swag packs are sponsored by author Gracie Cooper and Maud Winters. We also have some items from Laura Lynn Page in there. Inside each pack, you will discover an array of loved-themed goodies designed to ignite your passion for love stories. And guess what? We ship these worldwide so everyone can join in on the fun. But wait, there's more. Wait, there's more. By becoming a part of Patreon, you want to unlock exclusive perks like access to special episodes, our fabulous Buzzing Book Club, the ultimate romance adventure. Also, please remember, that is where all quick shots of romance are now headed. We are currently doing one a week, but we hope here in the coming weeks to be able to get up to two a week. So stay updated to all our events by subscribing to our newsletter and check out our event calendar at bookcaseandcoffee.com/events. For happy hours to IG Lives, book clubs, and there's always something exciting happening in our community. And I just did all the information. Summer Reading Challenge is coming. It's going to be June 1st through July 19th. And we will end summer reading with a slumber party again this year because that was so much fun last year.
So fun.
Okay, so thank you for joining us for this episode of Buzzing About Romance. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of tracking our reads through Goodreads, Storygraph, blogs, and Heather's Google form. Remember how you track your books can enhance your reading experience and help you discover even more amazing romance novels. It can also help you recommend books to your friends. So it's about being a good community member. If you have any thoughts or favorite methods of tracking your reading, we would love to hear from you. Connect with us on social media or drop a comment on our website. And don't forget to subscribe to Buzzing About Romance on your favorite podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. We will be back Wednesday night for our next episode, and we are reviewing in our book club stylings that we've been doing Caris by Sadie Kincaid. This is book four in the Chicago Ruthless. I have big thoughts. Programming note, next weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be recording on Monday night instead of Sunday night due to the long holiday that gives me a little extra time off.
It's gonna be fun.
So we and we won't tell you what our topic is, but it's gonna be great, and you will want to join us next Monday instead of next Sunday. But we'll see you Wednesday night for Caris, because I need everybody to read this book so I have someone to talk about it. And I really need somebody to listen to the audio because I've got
thoughts. I'm doing audio.
Good. Right, so now. Did I. Okay. So anyway, everybody, thank you so much for hanging out and joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading and keep buzzing about romance.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.